Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Thursday, June 11th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing well today. Good day for Gamecock baseball. I mean, good week for Gamecock baseball. Kevin Schnall named the head coach between the last time I spoke with you on Coffee and today, I believe it was Tuesday when the story broke. And comes over from Coastal Carolina. Maybe a nice jolt of energy I think we need around here for sure. The introductory press conference, kind of a little strange. It's going to be on Friday night along with a celebration you're all invited to out at Founders Park. Fireworks, intro, VIP event before. Way to get all the Gamecock Nation together out at the ball yard. And certainly hope all of you go. That are in Columbia or that are in town for that event. But just some of his quotes for his release, talking about recruiting the state. The great quote to me was this program epitomizes what's good about college baseball. That quote just kind of stuck with me. And really, when you think about it, what makes South Carolina baseball magical, or what has been magical through the years, is the people involved. And yes, South Carolina's got an awfully nice stadium, and it'll be even nicer in the coming years. Beautiful setting to watch a game. It's a baseball school. The sport is synonymous with our state. Most of us grew up watching the Braves on TBS when we were kids. Some of us still do. I have many, many friends that's what their summer routine is. Go cut the grass out and get off work, go cut the grass, get back in front of the TV to watch the Bravos. Awful lot of good players that have come out of South Carolina. I mean, it is a sport that is entrenched here in the state. Now, the whole country really loves baseball. I mean, if you get right down to it, even the cold weather states have, pro teams that they get behind in the summertime and all that. But at the college level, South Carolina as a state, it's always been exciting. I mean, gosh, going back to 2002, I was just out of college starting my career. The first 6 months out of college, I worked at a small newspaper, 6 day a week paper in Seneca, of all places. That was fun, right? Seneca. And so obviously Clemson was there, and Clemson was in the middle of a season where I can remember USA Today with Khalil Green and that bunch just kind of basically wrote an article that they were going to win it all. And they should have. They were the best team in the country until the end when the Gamecocks put them out. But I went to, had to cover a game at Doug Kingsmore in the regionals, and just always remember that atmosphere. I remember fans packing into the Sarge for the Supers in 2000. I was in Columbia as a student at the time, and did not have a ticket, but packed a cooler and sat on the hill. I don't know if I was supposed to do that, but I did. Didn't get in trouble. But just in our state, just the excitement of NCAA baseball through the years for decades. And it just hasn't been there in Columbia. It really hasn't been there in Clemson either. They've had a lot of disappointments. But where the magic has been at times is in Conway, South Carolina. And Kevin Schnall's been a big part of that. And so I think that when you look at the hire, and I was all for Kevin Schnall, I thought he kind of brings a toughness to the table that I like. I like his personality. I like the fact he's from New Jersey and just kind of tells it like it is. I like the fact that he gets emotional after games. But I was a big Frank Martin fan for that reason too. And they kind of personality-wise, I don't. I guess some criticisms of Frank Martin would have been in game on the bench. Baseball is managed a little differently. I don't think you're going to see Kevin Schnall go off and explode. I think one of my friends compared Frank Martin to the abominable snowman one time. I don't think you're going to see that, but like in the press conferences, what and that's a lot that I have to go on. off Kevin Schnall, there's that similar tough common sense leadership that I think he's got about him that Frank brought to the table. And so I like that. I kind of like guys like that. Kurt Cignetti's that way, if you hear him talk. So they're not necessarily throwback coaches. They're like unique in that way in today's society. So I like that about him. You know, it's not old school. It's new school, like common sense type of deal. And his players obviously have responded to him. He's been very successful as a head coach, and before that, as a recruiter and an assistant at Coastal Carolina under Gary Gilmore, who's one of the greatest coaches to coach the sport in our state. So I like the hire. Will it ultimately work out is the question. And Mike Morgan was talking about this yesterday on ITG, and it made sense. You don't know. But he also turned around and said, but South Carolina's due. And he said, I feel like it. He said, this is not scientific, but I feel like it will. Just because, in college athletics, the great programs don't stay down long. And somebody brought up to me the other day, well, what about men's basketball? They're great in the 70s and all that. Well, that's a different era of basketball, first and foremost, for a number of reasons. And you did have a coach there that had it rolling in Frank McGuire, but he was part of, or not part of, I don't think he was, according to Alan Piercy's book, he was not in favor of it. But they left the ACC. And independent status in football in those days was all well and good. Basketball, it really kind of hurt you as far as getting the NCAA tournament expanded. You really needed to be in a conference, and what, 9 years later, McGuire retired and away we go, and a series of bad decisions. Ray Tanner is the best coach in baseball to coach here. He did it consistently. He won multiple championships, played for four of them. I mean, but Bobby Richardson and June Raines also won significant amounts of games at South Carolina in baseball and also played for national championships. They didn't win them, but they got the Gamecocks there. When you have it's a great job, great program most years. The guys that anybody that not anybody that coaches there, obviously, but obviously not Paul Menieri, but if you have a program where multiple coaches have won, that's a sign that it's not, you're not in a hole, even if you're as down as Carolina's been, so deep that you can't get back. And that's really, I think, what gives people faith about this hire. If you're not, if it's proven through the years, you can get back. And we are in a kind of a different era as far as NIL and the transfer portal. It's a little different than roster construction wise, but again, I'll say baseball coaches have been managing rosters this way for decades. So it's probably not as foreign to a baseball coach as it may be for for some other sports. So yeah, that gives you those things give you hope. Those things give you hope. And I think that University of South Carolina baseball is in good hands. There has been some news even before the official announcement. The Coastal Carolina transfers started rolling in. We'll go through those real quick. There's seven of them at last count. That was yesterday and early this morning. Hayden Johnson, left-handed pitcher. All these guys played high school baseball in the state of South Carolina, which when you look at Schnall's quotes about, he said, our connection to the state of South Carolina is unmatched, and that's going to be the foundation of our recruiting. That's a breath of fresh air. Jamie Bradford's been talking about that for months. And so there were a significant amount of South Carolina players on Coastal's team and kind of locally too over there toward the PD Grand Strand area. And Hayden Johnson, who I mentioned, left-handed pitcher, he was hurt this year but was set to be one of their starters Weekend starters, was a reliever on the College World Series runner-up team, so he's got experience on the big stage. He's originally from Sacristy High School. He's about 6'5", so that's a obviously was a celebrated pickup. And South Carolina's going to need pitching. You know, obviously they'd be nice if they get Brandon Stone back out of the portal, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But I don't know that it's not. I haven't heard a word about it. And look, Matt Williams is coming with him, and so Matt Williams, you know, there may be some guys in the portal we think were pretty good that just doesn't fit what he wants to do, or that's just not his guy, or not his type of guy. So we'll see. But Hayden Johnson, and he was the first one to jump in from Sacristy High School, Coastal Carolina transfer. Jackson Weiner, who is a left-handed pitcher, but also plays first base. From DHs. He's from Bishop, England originally. Jamie was saying yesterday he's on some 2028 MLB draft boards. Really well thought of player. He came in yesterday, announced yesterday. Luke Jones, I believe their Friday night starter, played high school baseball at JL Mann in Greenville, right-handed pitcher. Walker Mitchell, a really good baseball player, played third base for Coastal. Not sure exactly where in the infield or maybe in the outfield he'll play at Carolina. His dad's the late Alan Mitchell, former Gamecock quarterback. That's a player that's sort of a catalyst type. He played at River Bluff High School out in Lexington. Really, really good player there. Colby Richardson's a left-handed pitcher. Mullins, South Carolina, played at PD Academy. He was a freshman at Coastal this past year. Bryce Estep, a catcher. Now he's from Fort Mitchell, Kentucky, but played high school baseball at P27 Academy in Lexington. Great defensive catcher. You know, that's good. Throughout, I believe Jamie said 15 of 28 base runners. That's pretty good. I think in the sport of baseball, if you do anything more than half the time, that's a good number. Will he be the starting catcher? I don't know. But he is Kevin Schnall was a catcher and knows catchers, and Coastal has some really good catchers. And then finally, another P27 product. He originally from Hartsville, is a Hartsville Red Devil right-handed pitcher, Daniel Parker. He was also a freshman on the team last year. So there's seven. And obviously, it's not just going to be, you know, trade in your teal and black for garnet and black, and the whole Coastal team comes. There's going to be some aggressiveness in the transfer portal, both in terms of players that were at Carolina last year. They want to get back. You know, a lot of talk about Will Craddock. Obviously, Will Craddock's got some really good ability. He's also an in-state guy from T. L. Hanna. And so that's important, you know, to have that in-state foundation. And just as a recruiting nerd, you know, not so much on baseball, who really loves the scientific geographical breakdown of recruiting. I don't care what sport it is. And as someone who's got an unshakable belief in the talent, the athletic talent in our state, that's exciting to me. And to all of you out there as well, it should be exciting. I know it's exciting to Rob Williams, Four Quarter Friday. And by the way, they'll be on tomorrow morning. He and Matt Smith probably talk about a little bit of this. FourQuarterFriday.com will launch on On3 and Rivals soon. It'll be your home for South Carolina high school sports. And I believe if you're a member of the Big Spur and Gamecock Central, it's all the same membership on On3. I'm not sure if you get the high school message board or not, but well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But did want to talk about that briefly right here on Coffee. So football recruiting weekend at South Carolina. I know things have not necessarily been going super duper, but you know, you're still alive. Signing day's not until December. You shoot your shot with some of these guys. You see how many you can get committed before the end of the summer, and then you reassess everything and formulate your portal plan and try to flip as many guys as you can. The edge board is sort of, I don't know. The edge board's had some disappointment. You know, it was kind of a roller coaster. Jaden Bryant comes, makes an unofficial visit, schedules an official for that weekend, and then flips from LSU to Miami. That was interesting. Fred Ards goes out to A&M. He commits to Texas A&M. KJ Green goes down to LSU. He commits there. So they started flying off the board. One guy that's still in the mix is Lloyd Byrd High School in Chesterfield, Virginia, edge Chris Whitehead, 6'4", 230. He's the number one prospect in the state of Virginia, according to the Rivals industry rankings. He's making an official visit. The Virginia Tech Hokies are very strong with him right now. They do pretty well, even when Beamer was an assistant there in the Chesterfield area of Virginia. But had a really good unofficial visit this spring. Gamecocks are going to do all they can, shoot their shot to get him. And you know, James Franklin, you kind of knew that with certain players from Virginia. Virginia is such a big state; they don't all want to go to Blacksburg. And sometimes, historically, Virginia Tech would pass on highly rated guys from the state, and they ended up being right. You know, at Rivals, we would see a guy and, you know, from Virginia, and the regional guy or whatever would rank him highly. Virginia Tech would pass because they just didn't think he was that good. And sure enough, he'd go to Michigan or someplace like that and bust out. That was during the Frank Beamer era, which was amazing. James Franklin certainly can put together a roster and recruit. But I knew going in when James Franklin got that job, the one thing, he's a very enthusiastic, dynamic guy. He can recruit. That's the big deal. That's a big deal there, to try to get that roster back. And I knew they were going to be a little bit more of a problem. And Carolina, it's not like Carolina blanket recruits the whole state and wants to find six, seven guys out of Virginia. It's usually a handful of guys. But when the home team, as we're finding out in the state of South Carolina now, when the home team doesn't have momentum or it's looking kind of iffy, especially with the coaching staff, that makes it a little bit less challenging to beat the home team. And Virginia Tech is, I think, the team to beat for Chris Whitehead heading into this visit. Can you flip him? Absolutely. Or not flip him, but he hasn't committed yet. But can you shoot your shot? You never know. Can you land the punch? Obviously you can, but it's with Whitehead specifically, it's one of those things where I don't know that I've ever thought the Gamecocks were leading for him. But we'll see what happens with the number six edge slash defensive end prospect in America. Amari Patterson's a four-star prospect at wide receiver from Bluffton. The Gamecocks offered him a little later than everybody else. Things have been kind of evolving with his recruitment. He's one of those kids that has a lot of different offers, and you don't really know which schools has been up and down with him. Georgia's been in there some. Florida, where he was supposed to visit this weekend, he rescheduled that. He's going to come to Carolina. I don't know. Can Carolina kind of thread the needle and get him? Maybe. I wish I was overly confident about it. I do see an opening now. I think for a while it was, I was like, well, I don't know. You know, I just didn't think they'd get him, but I think there's been some developments there. So I think that's a significant sign that he's coming in for the official this weekend, and he's heading into a announcement, which will be next Saturday, during the same day as the Wing Off. At CB18 Bar and Grill in 5 Points, you're all invited. Go to cockyhospitality.com to register for that. Antoine McCoy, here's another four-star. Actually, it's three stars, I guess, by Rivals Industry. Defensive tackle from Eastern North Carolina. You know, I love those guys. I love Antoine McCoy. This has been a Carolina-Georgia battle for a while. Probably give the Dogs a little bit of an edge. You know, Nate Komba. You probably give Carolina an edge. You know, he's it's Carolina and Auburn for him. He goes to Auburn this weekend, so you got to kind of pay attention to that. We'll see if the Gamecocks lead will hold. But you want as many defensive tackles as you can possibly get, whether it's portal or, otherwise. And they're all, they're good. D-line heaven, Antoine McCoy. His recruitment's been, he's from St. Paul's, North Carolina, which is a little smaller place. His recruitment's been a little quiet, a little quieter. Carolina got John Archer, same region of North Carolina. And then, Comba kind of entered the chat and all that. I think Carolina's got a shot to make some headway with McCoy here. And of the three, believe it or not, I probably feel the best about, Carolina kind of making a move and getting Patterson. But, McCoy's a guy I've always kind of felt pretty good about based on what I've heard and all that. But I know Georgia feels good as well. So Carolina, Georgia for McCoy. I don't know where Carolina is as far as the other schools outside of Virginia Tech with Whitehead. I know Virginia Tech's probably the team you got to beat. With Patterson, who knows? It seems a little more open. And Georgia Tech and Georgia. I mean, Georgia has not. I don't know. Georgia, check out their receiver recruiting board at some point. Now, I do think Georgia's a factor, but I think that visiting right here, right before a visit, and he's going to take some other midweek visits or right before his decision on June 20th. We'll see what happens there. Wish I had like some great news saying these guys are going to all commit. But next weekend I think will be a little bit more eventful, a little bit larger weekend that weekend for Carolina football. One note from out at camp I did want to pass along, and it's on a 2028 kid, Chris Clark on Gamecock Central talked about this guy, and I just mentioned it because I love in-state players like this, Naheem Brimfield. 6'4", 245, do-it-all player, quarterback, does whatever. Maybe, probably projects as a DN linebacker from Denmark Olar High School. That's down in Orangeburg County. And my grandmother grew up in Norway, South Carolina. And yes, Norway is near Denmark, South Carolina, I believe, right there. Heading down that region. Larry Davis, former Gamecock sharpshooting guard on the Eddie Fogler SEC championship team in the 90s. Larry actually started his career at North Carolina, transferred to South Carolina. He's from Denmark Olar. So I think that's a spot that when they have a player, and there's more. I should have done some research and listed all the Denmark Olar players that have come out through the years. But I think Carolina gets in on him early. I think they've got a pretty good shot because I think this kid's going to end up getting a lot of attention. A big athlete like that that can do a lot of things. He's at a small school, so he has to do a lot of things. Those guys end up being pretty good football players. Kind of like Caden Ramsey, to be all honest, coming in and looking forward to watching some film on Naheem Brimfield and getting a better sense of him this football season because you see schools pop up: Denmark Olar, Cross, Bamberg, Earhart, Calhoun County, Johnsonville. Shout out Latte Lance, Lamar. All these places around South Carolina, and I guess I don't know. A lot of people my age that are Gen Xers have gotten heavily into nostalgia. I think we all miss the 90s other than Gamecock football in the 90s, right? And so maybe I'm just getting to the point where I kind of reach for nostalgia when I see these kids come out of these small towns in South Carolina. But I will say this is scientific. It's a high hit rate with those guys. They don't put a guy out every year, but the players you get from small towns in South Carolina at least are decent. They at least contribute, right? Sometimes they're like Darius Rush, who they're on your roster for 3 years. They never play, and they end up in the NFL. It's just a good spot to get quality players. I mean, honestly, if you look at it, Darius Rush and Xavier Leggett, and Xavier played a lot more than Darius did early on, but kind of the same thing, you know. One's from Mullins, one's from Greeleyville. Great athlete, got to Carolina, signed them, and boom, by the time they were in their final year, they were NFL guys. And that's the beauty of I think our state as far as going and, you know, finding talent and having access to it. You got to sign it. You got to sign it. But that's one thing that really gets me excited. So I was glad to read that from Chris Clark. You can read his entire report on GamecockCentral.com slash TheBigSpur.com slash On3. You can join for a dollar between now and the early August when football camp starts. And we've seen quite a few members join through the baseball search and all that. We're going to have complete coverage. Transfer portal is going to be heating up. Like I said, Matt Williams is coming as pitching coach. JB's got gonna have some scoop on the rest of the staff, and who Kevin Schnall hires to kind of fill everything out. Coverage of the press conference this weekend, so check that out on three GamecockCentral.com or TheBigSpur.com or InsideTheGamecocks.com. It all takes you to the same site. ITG later today, we are going to be live. It's Thirsty Thursday. I think Matt Anderson's in with JB today, and then Mad Dog and myself will be along to talk Gamecocks and whatever else you want to talk about. You can check that out on the Chief Sports app, this YouTube channel, or X. And yeah, so that's that, folks. Hope you all have a wonderful Thursday. Hope you're excited about baseball again. It's been rather sad, but there is hope. That's what coaching changes bring. And I think there's going to be a different mindset with this guy. Obviously different than Coach Maneri, but I think, you know, one of my good friends really wanted Schnall, and as the coach. And I think that for the reasons I mentioned that I liked him, the toughness, the, you know, just the energy. It's just a good energy, you know. It's not all like positive and sunshine and rainbows, but it's a good energy. It's a winning energy. And I guess he acts like a winner, you know. And that's I like that. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Gamecock Nation has been very positive about it for the most part. You're gonna have detractors, even when there's not, I mean, unless there's just a no-brainer slam dunk guy that's proven. And I used Tony Vitello as an example of that. If Tony Vitello decided he wanted to coach the University of South Carolina and just abandon the Giants, pull a Bobby Petrino and check out on the pros and come back to college, yeah, I don't know there'd be any complaints at all about that. But you know, most coaching searches anywhere, no matter how good your program is or how much history you have, it's one of those things where you're going to have different opinions. And that's fine. It's America. We should. And what I like to look at is what are most people saying? The Will Muschamp hire in football was about a 48% positive hire. Lamont Paris, probably 47% higher. Shane Beamer was a little higher. It's probably more 70-30. I think a lot of it was because of the familiarity, and you had a lot of people that knew what Shane was all about that, you know, kind of endorsed it. It's all like politics, isn't it? You know, we got an endorsement, so it boosted him up. Just to kind of, the Paul Menary hire, it kind of happened out of nowhere so quick. I think about probably 60% of the fans were good with it. You know, okay, they can take the next level. The Kingston hire, maybe about 60%. Back then, you know, people kind of still had some faith that they'd go get a coach that would just take them to that next level, right? And so this one, 85% probably, 80%, maybe higher. But Schnall was the name connected to the job from the beginning. I think all of us know what Coastal Carolina did, getting to Omaha last year and going to the championship series. in the state of South Carolina. When Coastal Carolina does that, that's a big deal. And they've done it twice, gotten all the way to the finals. They won it once. And so it's a big deal. It's been impressive. And I think during this whole reign of teal that we've seen with baseball in the state, because, after Carolina went in 2012, it's been all coastal as far as the state of South Carolina out there. And so I don't think anybody else has broken through, but they've been the standard. And so, go get the guy that's been behind all of it, right? Why not? It's a little different than what this university normally does. Normally, they don't. When there's a kind of a quote unquote local hire like that, there's a lot of pushback against it because, we're just a little too good to hire the coastal coach. But not this time. All right, folks, check it out. Check out the website. Appreciate everybody listening. This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. I'm out. Holla.